Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. It's great to be here in Texas. I get to go all over the nations, but I end up every year for the last 27 years, it looks like. Well, 28, this is the 28th, I think, that I've been with my amazing friends and partners in the glory, Bill and Sue Hart. We have been friends since what, 74, 73, that's right. And we were young pastors, and the glory visited us. And there's a thing of revival, and then the revival of glory. Well, I'm going to talk about levels, so. But there, we got seeped in the glory and have never wanted to get away. So it's so great to be back in Austin Cathedral. I have to get a word of knowledge often as to what the name is, because from time to time it changes. No. But the Lord gives us friendships and in the glory. My mentor and teacher, fellow pastor that I served for 22 years, Bonnie and I, was Derek Prince. How many of you have heard of Derek? The Derek Prince. Amen. Well, he was the Obi-Wan Kenobi. I was the Luke Skywalker, young Jedi, whatever. I would travel with him all over. And I had the honor of being the spiritual son who was asked to speak at his memorial service. So I'm honored. But he would talk about different things about the glory and about relationships. And he said, that's one thing God's not too generous with relationship. You've got to learn to treasure the relationships God gives you, and God will give you more. So it's always, whether God gives us bonds in the Holy Spirit, it's important for us not to take them for granted. Anyway, glory. I get excited about the Lord, and you go always. Know that when you are in a meeting like this, that as two or more are gathered together, God has promised that He's going to meet us. He's going to be there. When He is there, He is there. He will make a difference. He's not just observing. You get immersed in the glory. So tonight, I want to invite you to just get immersed. Being around the glory is almost a full body experience. It's body, soul, spirit. It's being charged atomically by the presence of the Shekinah. Because the Holy Spirit comes. He is the Spirit of glory. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of glory. He's also the Spirit of resurrection. So He raises up dead things. Things that you thought died, God will, as you get touched by the glory, He raises dead things. So He is right now doing something in the nations, and He's doing something right now in this nation. If you have not realized, there is a shift. There's a prophetic shift that is happening. And last night I shared a word which I want to continue kind of sharing, developing that further. And the basis on which I shared that. One of the prophetic events in nature that happened, that a lot of people, I didn't notice too many spiritual teachers making a big to-do about it, but it for me was very significant, and it was something God says, notice this, see what I'm doing. For example, some years ago, the desert, Death Valley Desert, which is the driest place in the United States, had flowers. Someone sent me flowers. It had bloomed like it had never, as far as people could know, and as far as they knew in human memory of the people who were living at that time, that they'd never seen these blooms. And they called them the 100-year bloom, because the reason was that in Death Valley, well, they saw flowers they had not seen before. And they saw flora and fauna that they had not seen before. And they said, we wonder why. And it was because it had rained and rained and rained in Death Valley to such a degree that things that they thought were extinct, things that thought were no longer now available to us, that they started flowering because the seeds were deep in the ground. And when the rain came, the revival came. And so rain is attached with revival, restoration. And when we are in drought, things appear dead. But there are seeds deep inside us. When the rain comes, things rise up. And in fact, Bonnie and I wrote a book, my wife Bonnie, and I wrote a book called The 100-Year Bloom. And the Lord just was speaking prophetically what he did 100 years ago, he is going to do even in a better way, in a greater way than he is, what happened 100 years ago. So at that time of the writing of the book, I said, now, what happened 100 years ago? First in the natural, then in the spiritual. Say, first in the natural, then in the spiritual. That's a biblical principle. So what you see in nature, take notice, because it is a signal that God is up to something. And if we catch the wave of glory, he will release something awesome in our lives, individually and corporately. So I remember writing that book, and as we concluded, wrote the last prayer at the end of the book on revival, glory being restored. There's a wind that came into our home that blew open. It's a very large home, and it blew open every window, every door, and the wind blew through the house, and it was just very significant. Everybody that was in the house noticed it. What happened? And the wind came in to confirm that this is his word. Then the Lord said, I'm going to confirm this word to you next week. And that next week I got a call from the Azusa 100-year anniversary celebration event in Los Angeles. And they said, God spoke to us that you are the one who's supposed to lead us in the Colosseum to do the official welcome of the Holy Spirit for welcoming the Azusa revival back again and let it manifest to bless the spirit of Azusa across the nations. And this prayer, this job was given to Oral Roberts 50 years before. And then on the 100th celebration, I had the privilege of standing in Los Angeles and speaking and giving this prayer. And you can look it up on YouTube. So the Lord confirmed that picture that I had and the prophetic impression by the Azusa committee asking me to lead the nations. In fact, they said there was a live audience on TV of about 200 million as I welcome the spirit of Azusa. But Azusa, when there were certain notable figures, Papa Seymour, who was the one-eyed black preacher who really helped usher in the trigger of Azusa. How many of you have heard of Azusa revival? All right. Well, gosh, there are a few who have never heard of it. So you need to be a little bit educated in that. Well, it's more a Pentecostal event than in regular history. But it was one of the greatest revivals. That's when God really restored the truth of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine that for nearly 1,900 years, the regular church had let subside our experience in the Holy Spirit. People didn't talk about it. People, I mean, they may have experienced it once, but it was not a regular practice in the church. It was until Azusa Revival came. So, anyway, they prophesied, Papa Seymour, Smith Wigglesworth, another notable person was Maria Woodward Eder, and she was, you need to read up, if you are interested in revival, she was one of the most amazing, anointed women of God. And Amy Semple McPherson came a couple of decades later. But Maria Woodward Eder was during the time of the Azusa Revival. And one of the events that I remember about her, and when I talk about these are not just, I feel like these are doorways, that these are portals, that if you talk about them, you can enter into these. These are Holy Ghost stories. So Maria Woodward Eder was hit by the glory of God. She was doing a meeting in about 1913, 1914 in Chicago. And as she was doing the meeting, the glory of the Lord, the glory, I call it the glory, but it's awesome outpour experience of the Holy Ghost fell on her, and she was transfixed. She was preaching, and suddenly she became like a statue and couldn't move because the glory was so thick, and stayed like this for 3 days. And believe me, people, like, unless it's the glory, I would want to go to the bathroom about 3 hours later. And she stood like this, and the glory got thicker and thicker, with thousands gathered and got saved and got healed and got miracles. And during that season, Maria Woodward Eder prophesied, but 100 years from now, the glory of God's going to come to America, and revival is going to come to such a mighty degree that people will say Azusa was just one-tenth of what's going to happen. It's going to be 10 times more powerful. So I just want you to know that we are in that season of the fulfillment of these awesome prophetic words, that God wants to transfix you in the glory, that God wants to do certain amazing things in this hour for us individually and for us corporately. So in that then context, something else that happened that I kind of take notice in nature is that at the beginning of the month of May, there were several sources that headlined the news, because a lot of the people who observe these kind of climate things had declared that this, after 17 years, the United States of America, first time, was drought-free. That there was, for the last 17 years, there was some place, some state in America that was in drought. But this is the year that there's not one state that is in drought in the 48 states of the continental United States. So first in the natural. Say first in the natural. Then in the spiritual. So what I want to declare over you, over your families, over your lives, over our ministries, over the church, over our finances, over everyone, all of our sons and daughters, the drought is over. Say, the drought is over. And as you get the word, you got to become congruent with the word. In the glory, one of the great example, perhaps the greatest example of someone becoming congruent with the promise. See, you got to line up. Be in alignment with the prophetic word, or the word from the glory. And you line up your entire being to the degree that you can. And however you can cooperate, you want to. And the premier agreement that changed the history of the world and the universe was this precious young girl when she gets visited by an angel and who gives the promise, you're going to have a child, and the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you. And her response, and this is what I call congruency, is she said, be it unto me according to your word. So you are lining up often what God is saying and what we are saying. We let different circumstances get us out of alignment. But when the glory comes, we can be in agreement. And tonight, we want to say, we're in agreement. The drought is over. Say, the drought is over. And yesterday, I gave you the scripture from 1 Kings 18, where Elijah declares, while it's a season, it's been dry, 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 and it's been drought and famine in the land in Israel, that he declares, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And there is not a cloud in the sky. Not only there's no sound of rain, there's not even a cloud in the sky. It's a clear sky. And yet, in the realm of the Spirit, he is hearing something. He is hearing in the glory. So that's why I'm inviting you. God is inviting us to hear in the glory. Hear the word of breakthrough for us, for our families. Hear the word of breakthrough for our finances. Hear the word of breakthrough for our cities, that we get in alignment with the glory of God. Last year, I showed a little video. I don't know where I showed it here. But last year, while we had the elections, that we had there were a lot of organizations that were wanting America. There were a lot of millions of dollars, and I'll name the name, Soros. Some of you may have heard of George Soros and his very progressive, Marxist, communist kind of thinking. And he had a lot of hirelings, thousands. And one of the states that was in, we didn't know which way it would go in the election. The elections, how many of you know they were very important? And the nation could have gone this way or that way. Now, I'm a man of God. I'm not a politician. But you notice what God wants to do. We want to have revival. We want Jesus to visit, Jesus Christ to be Lord over the United States of America. We don't want any other Lord. We don't want any Marxist God. I want our Lord is Jesus Christ. He is the Lord over the United States. So there were a lot of things that were pulling this way or that way. Which direction are we going where abortion is concerned? Which way direction are we going to go where people go for alternate lifestyles and our children are being pulled into being educated and almost brainwashed into accepting things that the Lord would not be pleased at? So there are major issues at hand that are at battle in the United States, and we have to make sure that Jesus is Lord and his name is honored in our country and in this nation and every state. So anyway, at that time, then we had people, we had an event where a policeman who happened to be black, he got into a circumstance where a man was reaching for a gun and he was going to be arrested for some drugs or something and reached for a gun, and the policeman had to shoot him. And it was there was a big fuss about it. And the people who are looking for these kind of events so that they could trigger division and fear and violence started taking charge. And so where we live in Charlotte, North Carolina, it started, they wanted to burn the city. not just so they could burn the city, but it would stir up a kind of atmosphere in the Carolinas so that they would vote a certain way, that there would be so many stirred up that it would go their way. And Bonnie and I lead a prayer movement called the Watch of the Lord. Besides, you know, proclaiming revival in the nations and writing books, we also oversee a church, pastor church. But from it started from an experience that I had where I led the miracle services for the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem for 22 years. And after doing the healing service, I would go to the Western Wall and pray all night. And a lot of amazing miracles happened. But the glory would come at the Western Wall as I would pray from about 11 o'clock at night or 12, all night till about 7 in the morning. There's nothing like praying all night at the Western Wall. If you can do it, it's an amazing experience. And at the end of one of these, the angel came, spoke to me, saying, "Watch with me." And it's a long story, but we started what I did in Jerusalem. I started reproducing, and we started watching and praying all night. So this started 25 years ago. And we have had an unbroken watch where people pray all night every Friday for the last 25 years without miss. And we always have at least 100 people. And it goes on. I mean, so faithfully we have been watching over that city and blessing it and blessing the Carolinas, of course, and praying for the peace of Jerusalem and revival for America. So we, as we realized that there were people trying to burn our city where the Lord had planted us and we were watching and praying, we said, "Not in our city. You're not going to create riots and violence and burn our city down." So I was leading the watch, and then my wife, some of you need to meet my wife. I met her in Texas, by the way. I married her in Texas. One of her ancestors died in the Alamo. So, I mean, and her ancestors lived in West Texas. And then her grandfather went by a wagon to New Mexico and got ranches there. So she's a rancher's daughter. Anyway. And so I married a cowboy. And it's cowboy and Indian. I have to remind her. I said, "Listen, honey, when we got married, we smoked the peace pipe." From time to time, she feels like she wants to declare war on the Indians. But anyway, no, we've been married 41 years. So, I met her in Texas. I married in Texas. I mean, I have so much, I owe so much to Texas, I want to tell you. So that's why I love coming back. And anyway, so I sent her, she said, "I want to go out there on the streets and we go to, with all the intercessors, and we're going to walk. And we're going to confront the rioters." And some of you are young bachelors here. If you can, marry a Texas woman. Because you... And then if you're in a fight, just send her in. Because she'll take care of things. But she has the pioneer spirit. But she said, they're not going to do this in our city. So she confronted. We were as we went as worshipers, started praising and worship. And there were the, these were people hired to set fire to the city. I mean, they had come from outside. And I don't think I gave them heads up, but we had a little interview on the Fox News, interviewed her right there on the street. They were confronting the rioters and were talking to them and all that. But it's a remember, I think last night I said it's a battle, it's a spiritual battle. First, it's spirit against spirit. It's not political things, it's not. It is a battle of the spirit. So this is training ground. This is important for us to learn and get our orders. May we hear the shofar blast of the glory. We heard a shofar saying, you guys are commissioned to save your city. Now go and confront the powers of darkness that want to burn down your city. And there, in a matter of a day and a half, a couple of days, the army of darkness was canceled out. They are all their thing. And God brought healing. And in fact, it is not only healing, but when healing takes place, He is waiting and hovering for us to take it to the next level. Say, next level. Say, next level. So that's one of the other words I would say to you guys is God's prophetic anointing is over you to take your ministry and your calling and your destiny and purpose to the next level. Say, I'm going to the next level. And if you're sitting with your wife or husband, say, we are going to the next level. And every ministry here, every individual, every family, every husband, wife, I want to say to you that this coming year, God is taking you to the next level of blessing, next level of grace, next level of provision. Say, next level. Alrighty, so I just jumped in, but I felt that we are at just the first level of the drought being broken. So remember the figure, the official figure, and I held this, the headline newspaper thing from May and yesterday, and it said, for first time in 17 years, America is drought-free in every state. So we can declare, as in the natural, so in the spiritual, the drought is over. And when you see then, not only 1 Kings 18, in Joel chapter 2, when the drought is over and God says, and I will give you the former rain and the latter rain, and I will restore what the devil, what the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the locust have eaten. So I will restore. Say, I will restore. So God is actively involved in restoring you, restoring your children, restoring your grandchildren. And where tonight, I just want you to know there is a grace for deliverance for your children. There is a grace for deliverance for your grandchildren. I don't care what the enemy is doing in their lives. The enemy will not win. We are standing in the gap and saying, not in my family. You're not going to touch my children. You're not going to touch my grandchildren. As for me and my house, we will serve the living God. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So there is as the wave of glory, I would urge us, therefore, God is commissioning us to carry the glory to the next level. It is not just that we enjoy it and say, yes, thank you, Lord. You are stewards, therefore, of the breakthrough. God wants to commission you to take it to the next level. So as we experience then the healing for our city, and so, you know, the Fox News, we had a little thing there. I think did we have that? You have it? Wow, you are so awesome. Can you play it for us? Okay. You will see tonight,
David St. Henry, this. On Facebook, with the pastor of All Nations Church, where
We're going to turn it around. So I heard that this is
calm and unity in hopes of healing.
Can you turn it around?
In the city are now feeling.
And it was some pretty powerful stuff. Huh? Take a listen.
We're out here with a whole bunch
of.
Oh,
there is my wife. She's upside down.
We're healing in our city. We're here to listen. We're here to dialogue. We're here to pray.
And I know yesterday afternoon, you guys.
This is the first time I've shown it upside down.
The same thing. You were holding a press conference where a number of different religious leaders from the town came, said their prayers for Charlotte. What have you noticed as these days have gone on? What do you notice with the crowd here tonight compared to nights past?
You can feel the anguish in the hearts of the people who are being affected, but you can also feel an undercurrent of just the emotions that are catching up things. And our prayer, our presence is for a calming impact on our city. This is our city. It belongs to all of us. We're one family. You cut any of us open, you shoot any of us, we all bleed the same color. So we're here for seeking the peace of our city, because in the peace of our city, we all prosper. We're here to pray, we're here to heal.
And one more thing I want to talk to you about. Everyone keeps talking about that body camera, dash camera footage. We've had local leaders calling for it to be released. Now we have Hillary Clinton calling for it to be released. Is that one of the biggest messages here tonight? Is that the next step for you guys?
Yeah, I think when you're in position of leadership in the midst of a crisis, the biggest challenge is to be able to call the shots as they need to be called. And there may be some mistakes that, you know, in the decision-making process, we may have waited too long, but at the same time, we don't want our children and the lives of these folks to be put in further danger. We don't want our city to be damaged further, because hurt doesn't heal hurt.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, she was asking if you'll be out here past curfew.
We're just out here for the endurance, so we'll wait and see. We're here to try. We've been talking to folks, praying with people, listening to their pain, and letting them know that people are listening. We don't need violence for the resolution here.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
You're really welcome. God bless you guys.
You too. Nice to go protest.
All right, and our Davis.
So she went and hugged that Fox News reporter right there. You know, God bless you. But, and the governor met with Bonnie and a couple of other pastors that were there. That there weren't that many who were there. I mean, there weren't that. So we just need to make sure that we show up at the right time. And God will do the rest. It was the Lord and the Holy Spirit who came and gave us peace and shalom, supernatural over our city at that time. And what the enemy meant for harm, God turned it around. And he has brought the pastors together, and we are meeting with them, many of them. And, of course, the city officials, they all came, the high, we invited them, they came and ate at our house, and we wanted to take it to the next level. So, I mean, it's important that we don't take that which happens for granted. God will give us a breakthrough. We go to the next level and take it. Say, I'm going to the next level. So the drought is over. Say, the drought is over. And that means it affects that as you look at it. I'm applying the principles of the Word of God. It's not geography or climatology. I'm telling you what happens when God breaks the drought naturally as well as then spiritually. He says he will restore the abundance. He will restore the grain. He will restore the oil. He will restore the wine. He will restore our families. He will, the spirit of Jubilee, where our families are being held captive by powers of darkness, that where our children are held captive by drugs. The opioid addiction is one of the big plagues over the United States of America. And do you know that? Yeah? How many of you agree that in almost some major states up in the north, that is the number one problem? Thousands of people each year are dying of opioid addiction. Well, guess what? It's an addiction. Say addiction. You know what? Who delivers you from addiction? It's Jesus. No psychologist can deliver you from the yoke of oppression. No therapy, no counseling can do that. It's the power of revival glory. It's the power of the name of Jesus. So if there are any addicted, bring them to church and have the pastor pray for them. And that's why I have very little tolerance for those who say, way back, we don't meet that too much. We'd say, well, Jesus healed 2,000 years ago, but he doesn't heal anymore and all that. I'd say, thank you. God bless you. You need deliverance. Go back there. We are going to deal with the major issues of our nation. The devil wants to take the nations. I'm just coming back from Europe from extended trips. We were invited by the King and Queen of Belgium to do the World Full Gospel of Businessmen Convention in Brussels just in November, yes. So we came home just 2 days, day and a half before Thanksgiving. But we were in Belgium, Brussels, and then Switzerland. Met with some major leaders there and did the meetings, of course, and then went to East Germany. So, but what I'm seeing, there is a shift. And I'm praying you will catch that shift. See, 17 years, after 17 years of drought, the drought is over. Guess what? Also, this now, they have brought official figures. You see it from last week, that this is the lowest unemployment rate in the United States for 17 years. That's the exact figure they said, 17 years. Amen? So, first in the natural, then in the spiritual. The drought is over. Put your hands on yourself. The drought is over. Hallelujah. Glory. And by the way, I wanted to, Bill asked me if I would take the offering tonight. And so I'm going to we're going to take a drought is over offering. Okay. And our ministry is right now going to, as you see, we are going to many nations and we are feeding every day, feeding the poor in Jerusalem. We provide heat in the Indian reservations. We are hundreds that are totally poor that they provide. Through the winter, we have committed to provide heat for them. And when in the summer, the poorest places in the United States, by the way, are the Indian reservations. Do you know that? That's the worst conditions. And we need to bless the original Native Americans. And if we bless them, we will have blessing and revival. So these are among the things that we do. We also lead the global prayer movement called the Watch of the Lord. So a lot of things that you will be able to participate as your seed. So this is your drought is over seed. Get your envelopes. Do we have the envelopes? Envelopes, please. We have already given the envelopes. So you can pray about your offering. The drought is over offering. Huh? Austin Cathedral. Yes, we're going to make it out to Austin Cathedral. And we are going to... Eric, play some Drought is Over music. Thank you, Father. And I really feel I'm going to pray over this offering I really started seeing. Whenever I start seeing something or hearing, I'll follow it, track it, and there are miracles you will have for your grandchildren. I see promotion and I see financial. There is multiplication. The word multiplication comes for me. And you can lay your hands on that offering and say multiplication. By that I mean the millionaire and billionaire anointing. I believe that God wants to release over us for these coming days. And when the drought is over, that means, God likes to show off. And he would like to show off through you. Because he didn't just bless Israel. When the Queen of Sheba, one of the wealthiest people in the world, saw Solomon, she said, I have never seen such abundance. God wants to show off through you. through you, through His God's people. And may that breakthrough financial come in a major way for you guys. Hallelujah. Do you have your offering ready? Lay your hands on it. Praise God. Say the drought is over. Father, I bless this seed tonight that as you have shown me where years ago that Texas is going to be restored will be a major sign and a wonder. This was in 86. I prophesied in the state capital right here. And I thank you, Lord, the miracle glory is coming. But you're going to bless and show off through your people the awesome spirit of restoration, revival, abundance, and financial provision and breakthrough. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The plates are out here. Let's bless. Come on up. If your neighbor doesn't have something to put, give them something. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. This is in Joel. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. We bless the seed, Lord. Thank you. Oh, wonderful Jesus. Thank you. Among that Joel chapter 2, I will restore to you the earth the locust has eaten. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Praise the name of the Lord your God that has dealt wondrously with you. My people shall never be ashamed. You shall know that I'm in the midst of Israel. And you shall know, I'm claiming, that you are in the midst of the United States of America. Because you are the Lord. And it shall come. It said, it's in Joel chapter 2 where the drought is over and the former let rain. He says, and it shall come afterward. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That's in this key. When you see the drought broken, this is what you are going to experience. And this is a prophetic shift. So we're seeing the largest restoration, in the stock market. Unemployment at lowest. And there are things God is renewing the factories. I get to travel so many states because of so many situations I get to go. And I'll tell you, the Midwest, the states like Ohio, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, that used to have massive factories, I remember, they were exported. So that many of these, it would break your heart that some of these small towns that had one factory and many of the young people would live there so they could live with their parents, grandparents, they would be a stable life. They had to all leave because whoever was in charge sold out, I'm afraid, I feel like, economically, the United States. And I'm seeing restoration. So when, say restoration. So we want to see economic restoration. We want to see financial restoration. We want to see all these places in the United States restored. So there is full employment, factories. We exported 200,000 factories overseas. May those be returned. May there be, and more. So that's part of the practical restoration that I want you to speak. Lord, put your hands on the United States of America and just over every state, say, Lord, restore. Restore. As the drought is over, restore. And it's for our fellow citizens in this nation that they would not lack and that they would not be dependent on handouts. Praise God. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. All righty. So I am coming back. One of the key things that I just wanted, it was a scripture in this that I wanted to relate to, and it's Bonnie and we went to Brussels and Bruges and did the World Convention, Full Gospel Businessmen. Then we went to Zurich and did some meetings, but met with leaders, and then went to Liechtenstein, Saxony. And this is the section, what you would call former East Germany. And now it's regular Germany. But this is the region that we landed, the airport we landed in is Dresden. And then we drove for about an hour plus to Liechtenstein. That's in the province, Saxony province. Well, this is where Martin Luther had the revelation. And we are in the middle of the 500-year celebration of the Reformation. Say Reformation. So you are, if you're a believer, this is all very relevant to you. Who are you? What is your history? This is part of your spiritual history. The reason you are there, the reason you have a Bible is because the Reformation happened. Until that time, regular people, it was illegal for you to have a Bible. And God revived. When we talk about Reformation, it's more the later development. But revival came to the hearts of these men and women who had been stolen. They had been robbed. They've realized that we have been robbed of the Word of God. We can exercise faith ourselves in Jesus Christ. And so in the revival, Luther was one of them. Then there are other leaders like Zwingli. We were in his church. Zwingli's church is still there. People still meet in the. In it. He was one of the great revivalists or reformers. And in Britain, there was Tyndale and others who started saying, "We're going to make the Bible available to everybody." And it's because of this effect of revival that we have even the Bibles that are available to us now. They started happening at that time. So, but we owe a lot to some of these guys, like in Germany and Switzerland and England. Then revival impacted thousands and thousands of people. Their children, they said, "We're going to raise our children to know the Word of God." And then they raised them up to love the Word, love Jesus. And then there was a revival of music, revival of education. I was, before I came here, just for the sake, because I was in that region of Germany, I started listening to some Christmas music that's from that time. And one of the oratorios, I was listening to Bach's Christmas oratorio. You may want to just go home and look it up and play it. And it is so full of the glory. And it was from these regions. These guys heard from the glory. And the music was in. The educational system was revived. All of this. See, so it impacts. Reformation is revival taken to the seventh level. Okay? And that means it has impacted music, culture, education, every level, business, that's being pushing through, not being lazy, taking it to the next level. So God wants us to commit ourselves to take it to the next level. So I'm here in Liechtenstein. The thing you got to know, how many of you remember Dresden? Do you know what Dresden was? That's good. That's true. You're right. But the other one that's more a negative is that at the end of the Second World War, that was firebombed by the Allies. They had to really bring the war to the conclusion. They were tired, and they just totally bombed out Dresden. So it was the biggest bombed out, perhaps the biggest bombed out city besides in Japan. But thousands had died there. So these are people who have gone through the horrible things of the Second World War, and then the Soviet Union came and captured them. And they were under the yoke of slavery. And for nearly 60 years. And then they were set free. But as I went there, I realized they may be, in a civil law kind of way, free, but spiritually, the yoke is still there. They were brought up, they were some of the best, sweetest people. The Christians were wonderful, humble people. Their children were even more awesome we have ever seen. But you could see that the culture, that the yoke was still there. And in that context then, I asked the Lord, Lord, what is the word that I can give to these people, to these hundreds of Germans, sweet Germans, so hungry, and the leaders. And the Lord led me to this scripture, and I felt like I was supposed to share this scripture as part of the whole message of, as the drought is over, God wants you to go through the process of restoration and healing. So God wants to restore you. It says, see, I will restore everything that was stolen from you, and not only financially, therefore, but emotionally, in the area of families, where now, see, some of our children, like I pointed out, are now under the yoke. However nicely you try to bring them up, they are being snookered in by the devil, by opioid addictions or marijuana addiction or alcohol is still around. But alternate lifestyle. Many of the kids who never knew anything say, Mom, Dad, I think I'm a woman. They say, what? And I hope I'm not being politically incorrect, but when you see a young boy saying, I think I want to be a woman, I feel like a woman. Anyway, these are forces that we are battling. Okay, we got to get strong. We got to get in the glory and ourselves be restored and then restore our people. Anyway, so in that process of rest, what is one of the major keys? The Lord brought me to this scripture and to declare it over them. And I want to declare it for us too here tonight, so that it can affect us. Is that not one exception to this? The answer is so awesome. You may have, see, for the East German thing was the yoke of, they had no time to get over the Second World War oppression and broken in the Hitler oppression that they had. And then they came under the yoke of communism. Well, the Lord gave me this word, but I feel like it is for us all. And I want to take you to scripture then. Exodus 15. And it says, so here you find in Exodus, this is the glory cloud. We talked about the glory. The glory cloud is leading these people. And the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day. Moses himself. It's not really Moses, it's Charlton Heston. I've said, so when I go to heaven and I see Moses is a short, fat Jew, I'm going to say, You're not Moses. Charlton Heston is Moses. How many of you have seen the movie Ten Commandments, right? Yeah. So, they are being led by the cloudy pillar, the glory. And there is an awesome dance in the glory where Miriam, then Moses and children, they sing a Lord, and Miriam leads them all in a glory dance. And it says, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. Remember the charismatic song? I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider thrown into the sea. And it was a great song. Anyway, one of the things I want to encourage people with is, you know, our culture tells us if you reach, when you reach 65 or 70, it's over. Go to Florida and die. And which is not, do you know who the one who was leading this dance of about a million women dancing with the Lord was Moses' sister, Miriam. So she is dancing with a timbrel and making a loud noise, and hundreds of thousands of women dance. The women are dancing. Do you know how old she was? As she led the biggest praise dance ever, she was 84 years old. And I said, golly. I mean, some of you who are reaching 80s, I just want to tell you, your ministry may just be beginning. So God is not through with you. All right? You got mighty things to do through you. All right. Now, it says in verse 20, the Miriam the prophetess took the timbrel in the hand, and all the women went out with her to the timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. So now the scenario is set up. Almost about my estimate is about 2.5 million people. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. How many of you going to Israel? It's fun to get to go there. But if you're taking a tour, your tour leader will tell you, almost force you to drink water constantly. And if you're not used to being in Israel in the Middle East, I've seen people just keel over because they get dehydrated. So that's where they are. And they're without water for 3 days. Now when they came to Marah, suddenly they found water. It's a big giant pool of water. They could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. So God brought them to bitter waters, bitter pool. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Say Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? I mean, I don't blame them in some ways, because it's 3 days without water. So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. By the way, in the Hebrew word of tree, if we think of a tree as a big oak tree and all that, in Hebrew, if you see a branch, a big branch, that branch is called a tree also in the Hebrew word. So he sees a branch, I think. When he cast it into the waters, so the Lord gave him instructions. Take this tree, throw it into the bitter pool. And the waters were healed. Okay? Where waters were made sweet, they were healed. Say the waters were healed. There God made a statute and an ordinance for them. There he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I'll put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. For I am the Lord who heals. Say, He's the Lord who heals me, my family, my children, my finances. This is the answer. It seems a strange answer. Number one, the glory is leading them, and yet He leads them to the bitter pool. Isn't that something? And you do not hear the Holy Spirit say, oopsie, I made a big mistake. I made the wrong turn. No, no, no. He purposely led them to the bitter pool. For what purpose? So they could get healed and come to a greater knowledge, a greater revelation. This here is one of the times where He has brought them to the bitter waters to give them a greater revelation of Himself, so that it becomes their eternal possession. Revelation leads to possession. Spiritual revelation leads to deliverance and leads to possession. So otherwise it just becomes a theory or some kind of little thing, a nice little note in your brain. But when revelation comes, no one can take it from you. It sustains you, and out of you many others can drink. So when God brings a revelation, it becomes your possession. Say possession. Don't let anybody steal it then. It gets stronger and stronger. So there are seven major covenant revelations of the name of God. For example, Abraham, he says, I am Jehovah Jireh. I am the Lord, your provision. I'm your provider. That is a revelation. Revelation. When you get revelation, it becomes your possession. It is part, therefore, not only a possession, but it becomes an inheritance then. You pass it to your children. It was imperative. See, that's what we have, some of us, God put that burden, but in a larger sense, American culture in some ways. But 60 years ago, we let 60, maybe more, we let humanism and progressivism do a demonic trick on us in some ways, so that we were ready to sell our inheritance and let, for example, foreign philosophies or demonic philosophies take over to teach our children and take over the educational system. 90, perhaps almost 95% of our professors in our university systems are mostly Marxist progressives. I would say about 2 to 3 would tell you, 3% would say, I'm a committed Christian and I love Jesus. Why? Because we ceased making that an important thing. Whereas for God, it was absolutely imperative that you are going to teach your children and your grandchildren the word of the Lord. So it becomes not only your possession, but their possession. So anyway, but this is the word I shared, that God brings us to bitter pools to give us a revelation of Himself and to get you into possession. So every bitter pool in your life, every challenge, God says, I am the Lord who healeth thee. So He brings you to bitter pools to give you a greater revelation. And then, see, the bitter pool is not just like one person can drink water. It is the entire nation of Israel can drink all the water they want and they are not thirsty. So the healing is not only therefore for us individually, healing is for our families, healing and restoration is for entire communities, cities, and nations. And the answer is absolutely amazing, but it is God. See this tree, and I'll take you to the scripture here of another scripture just to refer you. It says, I will refer you to just so that you see me going to my iPad and looking, so you know I'm not pretending. This is the Word of God. It says, I'm joking, but Galatians 3, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Therefore, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, I can testify, and I shared with you the upside down video tonight to confirm this, that we for an entire city, we confronted people who were paid to burn our city. We knew, and you heard the crowd and all that. And I mean, believe me, it was a hairy experience, but the Lord was with us, and the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the name of Jesus, came and healed the whole city at that time. It turned around. The atmosphere was completely healed by the glory of God. It was just awesome. We saw that. Anyway, so this was the word the Lord said, and I prayed for those people in East Germany because the shadow of communism was still there, and they needed to be healed as a community and even as a nation that had been under the yoke of communism. And God wanted to break every yoke. Tonight, I want to declare that Jesus heals every bitter pool, and that we become congruent with the Word of God, that the drought is over. The drought is over. Say, drought is over. And I hope you don't mind my repeating it, but when I repeat some things, then it becomes part of where I want to possess it, and I want to release it over my children. See, and I've shared this story often, but when I got our, Bonnie and I, God blessed us with our first son. He was, the doctors found out by all the x-rays they did and all the best experts in South Florida that he was dying of terminal kidney disease. And there was no way that, I mean, they were the best experts and did the best they could. But there was, his thing was so goofed up that could not even, he was too small to give a kidney transplant. And then it seemed, I mean, if your child, you know some of you, if your child or grandchild goes through trauma, it hurts you so bad. And the pain is hard to describe. And we were in that, and in the middle of it then, of course I've said that story, but I shared it also in Germany, that the cloud of glory came, and literally we saw the golden cloud come over his body and the swirl over it. And the nurse started weeping because the glory was so thick. And the instruments showed he was in agony, but there was not, he was just, he had a sweet smile on his face, almost laughing. And I said, that doesn't make sense. The instrument says he's in horrible pain. And there is where we got the revelation, both Bonnie and I. Christ hung on the cross. And right now, 2,000 years ago, he's taking my son's pain. And by his stripes, we are healed. And God restored supernaturally. He took the pain, the sickness, and my son lived. he was with me in Thanksgiving. He's tall, dark, and handsome like his father. But he's also, like I said last night, he's one of the chief editors of Star Wars, The Force Awakens. You see his name. And, you know, he had a destiny and purpose. The devil wanted to kill him when he was a little baby. But God took our bitter pools. And by his stripes, we are healed. And the healing, this is my last thought, that we often take our healing at one level and we stay at this level. And this is something that the Lord is showing me. And I mean, that many people have gotten physical healing, but they have not gotten emotional healing, soul healing. Or sometimes they've gotten soul healing, but they've not got family healing. And some of us need to take it, come into the full provision. Because the provision, I told you that seven times Elijah says, go back. What's happening? See what's happening. Seven times. Naaman is not healed at the first dipping. He dips seven times. I want to tell you that the Lord, even tonight, some of you, you may have had healing at one level, but the grace of God is there. He wants to reveal this to us. I'll give you the references because I have scriptural foundation on this. Is that I saw if Jesus, God wanted just simply to give us the shedding of the blood of Jesus, he would have just had Christ crucified and hanging on the cross. That's what we see often. But I want to show you that, number one, in Luke 22:44, Jesus goes through such agony that he's sweating drops of blood. That's number one. Say one. So that's level one. Why did God, and it's the, on in Jerusalem, there's a street called Via Dolorosa as Jesus was carrying the cross. Anyway, number two, Matthew 26, verses 63 to 7. He was struck on the face with fists and rods. And so he bled from his face. Isaiah, then number three. Isaiah 50, verses 5 and 6. The hair of his beard was pulled out. That's number three. Say three. So I see them prophetically as the levels. He didn't have to do this, but God, there is a reason why he did this. Number four, Matthew 27, verse 26. He was scourged on his back. And remember, by his stripes, we are healed. So he took the kind of whipping that totally rips apart the flesh and the back. That's four. Say four. Number five, Matthew 27, verse 29. The crown of thorns is mushed onto his scalp. And so he bleeds from his scalp. That's number five. Say five. So we are pushing it different level. See, people, and this is the last year and a half, where people are tormented by anxiety, fear, depression. Now I've learned to plead the blood that came from his scalp. And I don't have the whole thing. I mean, we could, the whole Calvary experience is right. But that it's made, I have found that people get healed as we say, hey, devil, you can't torment this person's thought life and this depression and anxiety has to go because Jesus bled from his head. And these thoughts are now going to be sanctified. Depression be gone in the name of Jesus. Am I making sense? So even tonight, there are people, if you're hit by headaches, I want to plead the blood of migraine headaches have to go in the name of Jesus through the blood. So we say through the blood, but I am coming to a place which go to the seven levels. Then Matthew 27 verse 35, he was crucified, nails in his hands and feet. And then number 7, John 19, 34, side pierced by the spear. And therefore, tonight, you and your family are redeemed. You are bought back. Say, I am redeemed. Me and my family. So you can almost stomp your feet and say, devil, you can't torment my husband with this. Or you can't torment my children with this. Where there is a spirit of divorce that comes and hits your family life. We break that in Jesus' name through the blood of Jesus. So God wants to heal every bitter pool. We are justified through the blood of Jesus. You are made righteous through the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 13:12 says, you are sanctified, set apart for the holy purposes of God. Number 4, John 1:7, you are continually being cleansed through the blood of Jesus. It's not just a one-time event. So this, as we look at the healing, that God heals every bitter pool. That's what I felt like in a prophetic sense I was able to declare over the province of Saxony and Liechtenstein, where may the oppression of communism, every shadow, be gone over that. I mean, that's what I pray. But here in the United States, we need to pray for cleansing for our nation. I don't want to go into political things, but may the Lord, may the blood of Jesus wash us as we come and repent. By the way, I'm going to declare either it's going to be 21 days, but I think I'm extending it to 40 days when you can join. By the way, we have an app, the Child of Ministries app, that you can get information, a card at our table. And each of you, if you're not signed up, you can sign up to get our free gift of a free download of a very strategic prophetic message. But anyway, we are going to pray through after enjoy the first part of January, but after either on the 3rd or the 4th, we're going to start a 40-day fast to seek God's face. Now, doesn't mean all of you have to fast, but take Monday, each Monday for the next 6 weeks and join us. We're going to pray for our families, for our cities, and our nation. Anyway, may the blood continually cleanse us and our nation from all of these oppressions. And then number 5, Hebrews 10:9, the blood gives you free access all the time into the presence of God. Number 6, Hebrews 12:22-24. It's in the blood. Tonight even, it says,